Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Robin is an intuitive, spiritual consultant, and past life regression specialist based in Seattle, Washington. As The Practical Intuitive, she explores life on our conscious, evolving planet, our mother. It's all here, from how the world really works to intuition, the human-animal bond, mediumship, clearing space with space cooperating, and spirituality. It's Robin Fritz, The Practical Intuitive, helping you master body, mind, and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and welcome to September 20th, 2021. I'm in Seattle, Washington. The sun is shining after 3 days of much-needed rain here. I know if you're on the East Coast of the United States or other places where you've been overwhelmed by rain, we are grateful we have not had rain in 6 months. So today we are going to talk about what are we thinking and why. So buckle up, because I'm going to say a lot of things that are going to rile a few people, but I want you to listen to stories, to the stories about real people. And as we get started, I want to once again help you connect with my business partner, the crystal. Yes, a crystal. His name is Fallon. And no, I don't name anybody in my family. That's like a path to destruction. Fallon is a citrine Lemurian quartz. You can experience his energy the way your intuition works. Hear him talk, feel his energy, see pictures, know you're connected to him in this hour. So as you breathe deeply and imagine connecting to Fallon, imagine you're connecting to our mother, the planet, and to all life, and really digging deep into yourself to feel your connection to the planet, to everyone and everything here on the planet. Take a deep breath and feel that. So today, I want to talk about what we are thinking and why. How do we learn what and how to think about things? So we have culture, we have religion, we have ingrained mindset, and it creates a worldview, but really, is that worldview helping us be our best? What does that mean? Where are we in the world today, and how do we think about it? So when I started thinking about today's show, which will be my last show for some months here, and I'll tell you why at the end of the show. So I was thinking about it. I started thinking about how do we create connection to the world? How do we live as responsible beings on the planet? We who are in human bodies, but also our animals, our trees, our oceans, our volcanoes, our cities, our homes, our businesses. We are all equals on the planet. So let's talk about that. And I want to tell you the story of a woman I met who lived 300 years ago. Yeah, so I clearly didn't meet her in a body, right? I met her doing a past life regression session with a client who wanted to understand how she had worked with energy in a previous lifetime. So when you work with clients and you narrow soul regression hypnotherapy to a particular lifetime, we wanted to look at that lifetime where she was most secure in her understanding of energy. So we met this young woman walking down a dirt road somewhere in Europe, and it was clearly 300 years ago. My client was telling the time. I was looking at the woman and small little village in Europe. And as she walked down the road, she suddenly stopped and she turned and she looked at us. She could see us. She could see herself 300 years in the future, and she didn't bat an eye, right? So as a regression specialist, I'm like wide-eyed and fascinated by this young woman. And so we asked her, you know, how does energy work for you? So here's the answer. She was a woman, a mother, a wife, a community member, and she danced to spin energy for the community. and that was part of her contribution as a member of her town. She was a citizen of that community, and she lived it like that, right? And it was like awesome. And I was astonished, and I'm still astonished, because she took it for granted that she could talk to herself 300 years in the future. She was a little amused at how astonished we were, and I felt terrible. It's because I know from my experience of working with the planet and working with non-humans how much we've lost in that 300 years. So let's talk about that. How is it possible to see so much change in the world over 300 years? Well, the difference is mindset. So I've talked about this before, so take a deep breath and bear with me. Mindset changed from her time. And we became divorced from the world as it really is. And the thing that was so beautiful about this woman was how connected she was, not just to herself, which is really the most important thing, right? You need to connect with yourself before you connect to the planet or anyone around you. But her family, her husband, her children, her relatives, her neighbors, even the strangers who would wander into the, they were all connected. They all understood that the world is a unique whole and that we are all contributing to it. And the mindset that she lived in is a mindset that I teach today, which is called planetary connection. And I call it that because, well, somebody had to come up with a name, right? But I didn't make it up. I was taught this mindset by the non-humans that I work with, including our mother, our planet, our living, evolving planet. So this mindset, it really goes back to souls. And souls choose the body they need for a particular lifetime to do the work that they agreed to do in that lifetime, whatever it is. And the first and most important thing that we all choose in a new incarnation, or if we choose to stay in the afterlife, is to grow in love, to grow our souls in love. Our souls are eternal, and they go through lifetimes experiencing or not experiencing love, and the effect on that and how it moves forward in time. So do we always have great lives like that woman 300 years in the past? Yeah, no. Do we learn from them? Yeah, not always. Can we? Yes, always. So the man's mindset of planetary connection got lost, right? It got overwhelmed by science and religion. And as much as I love science, you know, I have to be critical because, oh, I don't know, I guess I appointed myself to that job. But when I work with clients, you know, I need to help them be their best selves so that give them the tools that they need. And they already know, they just need to believe in themselves. So way back when, some European white guys decided, well, you know, religion tells us how to think, right? So Copernicus came along and he realized that, the sun doesn't revolve around Earth. And then Galileo came around and he proved it scientifically. And what happened? Well, he got locked up for the rest of his life because the church said in its infinite wisdom that, of course, the sun revolves around the earth because the earth is meant for humans and we are the ultimate creation in the universe. We are it. We are in charge. And today we still have this mindset that humans are in charge of the planet, that we are the caretakers and guardians. And so what that means then is that because we're in charge, then everything is subservient to us. Everything except what people call our spiritual team or ascended masters or angels or God who are somehow above us, right? So we're left in this place where we aren't as good as those beings who aren't in bodies, but we're better than everything else. So we don't stop to look at the world as it really is. We look at it from the mindset that we created. I call that mindset the human paradigm. So what happened? So today, sadly, we're determined to flap-doodle ourselves into oblivion. right? So let's talk about what we're thinking. Yeah, I'm going to bash quantum physics again, right? It's not pretty, but we need to explore what's going on in the world and how we think, right? So let's talk about quantum physics, okay? We're always exploring, and we should be always exploring. It's important for us to explore the world, to have it make sense to us, to make sense to the world, right? Because there are a lot of beings out there that are looking at humans and just like, what the heck are you people doing, right? So we develop religious and cultural and spiritual practice that to give us insight into ourselves, to help us grow. And remember, we're all supposed to be growing toward loving ourselves, alive and dead, right? And as a medium, I work with a lot of people who didn't love themselves alive or dead. And, you know, they're not in the afterlife because they don't think they're good enough. And so that's another story for another time when I'm back on the air. The problem is we humans tend to get carried away by how other people define the world for us, right? And people define their worldview in terms of the latest scientific discovery. Or did you hear the quotes around that? Or what we think of as science. Now, I love science. I love electricity. I love my car. I love everything that science has given us, except for quantum physics. Well, a few other things. Nuclear power might be right there at the top. And pesticides that kill everything around us, but I digress, right? The world view that Copernicus and Galileo offered us was a world as it really existed and not as religion decided it should exist. And they were punished for that. I think it was only recently that Copernicus was reburied in a Christian cemetery, and I'm sure he could have cared less. But, right? And it took centuries for Galileo to be pardoned by the church for his heresy, right? But let's talk about the world as it really exists and how growing our souls makes a difference. Let's talk about mindset and quantum physics, and then we're going to bump into the break here. So quantum physics describes the world as a creation of our minds, and this is how so many people today are creating their mind-body-spirit practices, their holistic alternative wellness practice, their so-called spiritual practices that help them help other people learn to love themselves. But if you're not thinking from the beginning of the theory, of the idea, then maybe you're going off course. Now think about that woman 300 years ago. She was so settled in her easy relationship with the world around us. How many of us today can say the same thing, right? So we created this paradigm where humans are in charge, and that's where quantum physics starts. Humans are in charge. Therefore, when we devised a machine that could look at an atom and we caused the atom to move, we decided that we did that because we focused on the atom, because we're superior, we're in charge, right? Yeah, but that's not really true, right? That's the mindset that we created. Now you're saying, well, Robin, you're creating your own mindset. I'm not. I'm telling you the mindset that our mother taught me, that our mother wants me to take out into the world, because so many of you already are living this mindset that our planet is actually living in a world of equals. So what happens when we looked at that atom? Did it move because our brilliant brains as humans caused it to move? Does reality change because we caused it to change? No. The atom moved because it's like, oh my gosh, finally, after all this time, they're paying attention to me. Hi, you guys. Hi, humans. Yeah, that's the truth. It wasn't quantum physics and human mind that caused the atom to move. The atom is finally going, oh, for crying out loud, they finally recognized us, right? Those are two different worldviews, right? But the worldview determines how we think. So if you want to think that you're in charge of the planet, I can tell you for a fact that every other being out there, from a slug to our trees to our weather systems, they know we're just like really off base, right? And we're not living our lives to the best that we could, right? So we're not learning to love, and we're not learning to become part of a society, and we start splintering and we hang on to the wrong information and we get ourselves in trouble, right? So this has led to an entire philosophical, metaphysical cosmology that says, oh, I have a pain in my back and it's manifesting my lack of support for myself, or a whole bunch of crazy things, right? So this new mindset created by you know who, not me, right? But other people, started from a philosophy that humans are in control and that we can change things by our willpower. And well, we can't, right? Because the world isn't created like that. And we don't manifest things, okay? We don't manifest pain and disability as a correction to some sort of spiritual crisis. We don't get cancer or heart disease because of some stupid idea called karma, right? Things happen because they happen, right? Figure out what's going on and then deal with it, all right? So after the break, I'm going to tell you another story. And I hope that it will help you think about where we are today in our society. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
This segment of The Practical Intuitive is brought to you by Andrea Bovee, licensed insurance agent at BoveeInsurance.com. Andrea specializes in affordable health insurance for Americans of all ages. Yes, affordable health insurance exists. It's called a defined benefit plan. It's a budget concept. That means you'll be able to see any doctor, access outpatient services, receive covered preventative services such as mammograms and colonoscopies, enjoy unlimited free virtual doctor visits, and be covered for urgent care, ER, and hospital visits. But there's more. During a free consultation, insurance agent Andrea Bovee can help you decide if you should add critical illness or accident coverage so all your risks are covered when something serious occurs. All this while still delivering savings. Yes, the premiums can be much lower than those in the Affordable Care Act plans. Ready to check it out? Go to BoveeInsurance.com to book a free consultation with insurance agent Andrea Bovee. Andrea is based in Arizona, but she works by phone and webinar so she can help you wherever you are in the United States. One more thing. If you're nearing your 65th birthday or you are already on Medicare, Andrea can assist you with Medicare health and drug plans. Andrea works with her clients to find the best healthcare products at the best prices. Ready to learn more? Contact Andrea Bovee at BoveeInsurance.com. That's B-O-V-E-Y Insurance.com.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz. It's a sunny September day here in Seattle, Washington. And we're talking about what we're thinking and why. You know, how do we get to think what we think? And what does that mean for us? So I told you about quantum physics. And while, you know, our interpretation of the world, our understanding of the world is important, and we grow in that, you know, we look at how it's changed over time when religion and culture decided humans were in charge and religion was in charge of us. Then scientific advancement got stopped. You know, the world does not revolve around the sun does not revolve around the world, right? Because that would be meaning that humans weren't as all powerful and as almighty and as created in God's image. You know, well, we know that science proved that wrong, but now science is talking about quantum physics and how we can change the world based on how we look at it. And that's how people say, well, I can create good health by thinking good thoughts or whatever the hell people think, which doesn't make any sense, right? People say, oh, I have this issue and it's manifesting as physical pain. And so I need to change my mindset, to which I say, don't be a goddamn fool. Check it out. That's why we have modern medicine. And then when you work through all of the healings, remember body, mind, and spirit. Remember that how you respond to that crisis also matters. Are you going to have a good attitude or a bad attitude? Are you going to grow and learn and figure out new ways of living in the world? Are you going to learn from whatever experience you have in the world and continue to grow? Because, hello, that's why we're here, to grow in love. But that also means growing in knowledge, right? So the atom moved not because our minds forced it to because we're superior, but because it's finally connecting with us. And I know from talking with non-humans, from being at the table of life in the etheric plane and like, what the heck am I doing? Where am I? Finding out that humans aren't participating in the universe like we should be, because we think more of ourselves than we should and not enough of ourselves as well, right? That we're not approaching the world humbly or respectfully or with curiosity. We're approaching it with arrogance and disdain. And that gets us nowhere, really, which is why quantum physics has stalled out, right? If science would look at the world as it really is, astounding things would occur. They would see the fundamental problems with their mathematical formulations and create something that more closely matches the world that we live in, which is called planetary connection. Can I prove it scientifically? I'm not even interested in that. I can prove it based on my personal experience. You can believe it or not, but you can go out and have your own personal experience to prove to you that planetary connection is real. Hello? We are all intuitive. We are all healers. Just use your intuition to go connect with your animals, your home, your computer. My computer named herself Your Majesty, you know, before I could like make suggestions. So every morning it's, good morning, Your Majesty. Good morning, Robin. So there you go, right? We are amazingly free and vital as humans when we realize we aren't in charge of anything but ourselves, and that when we learn to live in harmony with others, we learn to create a better world for all of us, because we're contributing to the welfare of our evolving planet, our mother, right? Yep. Just like that woman 300 years ago, right? She understood how the world worked. Today, we let science give us our best guess as to how the world works, and it's got the answer wrong. So treating quantum physics or any scientific theory as a definitive answer not only ignores the world as it really works, but dropped us into the mess that we're right in the middle of right now with a pandemic, right? With people fighting each other, with people exploiting resources. And, you know, have we been doing this for years? Failing to cooperate with the planet itself to live peacefully and well on it. And then we drop in the pandemic. So here's where I want you to go today while you're thinking about this. Where I want to end up with you today. We humans form collectives, we families, neighborhoods, cities, countries. To get along, we create rules to live by, right? These rules are necessary. They help the collective thrive. They keep people safe and comfortable. They create opportunities for each of us to pursue what we all came here to do, to grow in love, right? Now think about it. If a wolf gets out of line in a wolf pack, it's disciplined, it's banished, or killed, period. If a human gets out of line, we call it breaking the law, and there are consequences for that. Fines, jail time, whatever. Even being ostracized by your community. You run a red light, you don't pay taxes, you pay for it. Then there are the conversations. And boy, we have seen in these last years how conversations go sideways, up and down, backwards, and just crazy, right? How we can't talk with each other anymore, how we can't have disagreements and learn from them. Like, I don't agree with this and you don't agree with that. Where do we come together, right? Well, we should all be coming together with planetary connection, the mindset that starts everything. And then how do we grow science from that? I've been trying for years to get scientists to talk with me about hurricanes. I can talk with a hurricane and tell you what a hurricane thinks, what they are created to do. And imagine the science that could come from that. Imagine how much we would learn. I told you before, Hurricane Ophelia in 2005 told me more about hurricanes in 10 minutes than science has learned in the last 50 years. We don't have time to waste on that. We need to tap people and their ability to connect with the planet and treat them just as well and just as seriously as we treat doctors and scientists, right? So it's not all about me, who I am, right? Let's look at our history. Let's just go back to our history. We have that woman 300 years ago, right? Well, when was the last time we as a human civilization faced an evil on the order of this virus that we call the coronavirus? World War II, right? World War II. Now, you know, I don't care where your family came from or whatever. We know that World War II was the last time when the whole world came together and basically beat each other up, trying to choose between a way of life that oppressed people and a way of life that did not, right? This time that we live in is World War III. Our enemy is not a human, it's a virus that is determined to kill us, kill everything on the planet. I know this because I communicated with it before the word pandemic even became a talking point, right? So how do we understand where our role is in the world? And I thought, well, let's go back to World War II. Let's go back. So none of us remember World War II, or maybe one or two people who are still old enough to remember World War II. Hello, 1940s, right? The Nazis, right? December 7th, 1941, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, right? Okay, so let's look at the story of one young man and how he faced World War II. And there are lots of stories out there, right? You might still be able to talk to your grandparents about the stories that they learned, you know, and you can read a book and you can watch some jingoistic movie, but let's look at a real story. Here's a young man who was born in 1922, right before the Great Depression. And when he was nine, his parents made him get a job. He had worked full time from the time he was 9 years old. That was how you survived in the Depression. Everybody worked. So he worked from the time and then he was 9 years old. And then he took up saxophone, and he played saxophone in high school and college to earn extra income, as well as worked in the college bookstore. And he wanted to be a doctor. He really had his heart set on being a doctor, but World War II came along, and he went off to serve his country, the United States of America. And then what happened? Well, this young man served in Italy during World War II. He advanced to the rank of captain, and on the way, he was shot multiple times. He developed hepatitis. At one point, his parents were told that he was missing in combat. And he did not die. He survived. He came home after the war. He got married, and he and his wife had 3 children. And it was all rosy after that, right? Yeah, right. Yeah, their firstborn son died of leukemia at age 14. You didn't have things like that happen back then. We humans had just survived a war to supposedly end all wars. How could you lose a child to a horrifying disease? But they did. But this young man also wanted to be a doctor, and he couldn't when he came home from the war. He had what we now call PTSD, but his hands shook so bad he couldn't work as a doctor. So he became a pharmacist, and he had a small business, and he took care of people. He took care of his family, his wife and his children. He took care of their mutual parents, their siblings, their families, their grandparents. He took care of his community. He had a pharmacy in a small town, and he would go out in the high school and he would talk to students about getting a job, which he knew a lot about since he had worked from the age of 9. Talk to them about getting a job, and he taught them how to work. He taught them how to build a career, because that's what you did back then. And in the early 1960s, when the polio vaccine became available, as a pharmacist, he ran out to the helicopter that landed in the high school football or softball field, whatever, and brought the vaccine and helped vaccinate people against a deadly disease. The deadly, horrifying disease called polio. So what else about that young man? Well, I told you he worked from the age of 9, right? And he did. And then he came home from the war in the evening, settled in with his parents, and they rousted him out of bed at 8 o'clock the next morning to go get a job, because there was no sympathy. There was no vacation time. It was all work. Well, you know, that's what they thought. That's what they did. And this young man worked his entire life. Now, he was, like I said, shot a number of times in World War II. And when he came home, and he was in the army, so he was on foot the whole time. When he came home, he never again camped or fired a gun. He believed that he'd fought for peace, and that hatred and contempt were defeated. He believed in his country, right? He didn't always agree with elected officials or even local ones, but he obeyed the law. He worked to make the world a better place. And when the polio vaccine came out, he worked to help people get it so that we could defeat a horrible virus, a horrible disease. So remember what I said? He disagreed with some things his government and other people fought and did. But he thought about them, and he even occasionally admitted that he didn't like to be wrong, but he was occasionally. And that he had gone to war so people could live healthy lives, to love and be able to choose, right? But to choose to be a member of society where it's not the one, it's the all. Remember the wolf pack? Yeah, it's all or nothing, right? And I'm glad this man, this World War II veteran, who had shrapnel coming out of his body until the day he died at age 72, I'm glad he's no longer here to see the mess that we're in here, not just in the United States, but in the world. a mess that we have created because of our inability to think straight, to have a worldview that looks at all of us as being together and equal as one. Humans, animals, all things, planetary connection. For us to lack the selfishness that is out there in the world right now today, that he would be ashamed of people around the world, but especially here in the United States, where the COVID case rate and the COVID death rate is the highest in the world. What the hell is wrong with you people? What the hell is wrong with you? We're in World War III and you have surrendered, right? I'm not surrendering. Please do not surrender. Please take up the fight, right? So this man, if he were looking at it today, he'd say, lack of understanding means you don't understand how to live in society. It is not my body, my choice. It is, what is your civic responsibility? How do you, like that woman who lived 300 years ago, how do you spend energy for the community? How do you live in families, in cities, in countries, and come together to be together to create a society? Nothing is perfect, but we can strive towards perfection. We can strive to be the best that we can be. We can strive to learn what body, mind, and spirit teach us in this new war that we're in. After the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about how we come together and what that means. Hang on, we'll be back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, lightworkers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Rosalind Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindset and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spot that activates your soulgasmic business by tuning in on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Mountain. Join me for your light language activation and let's magnetize and monetize.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about what we're thinking and why. So let's look at this again. So we have this woman 300 years in the past. She spun energy to support her community. She had this amazing, beautiful life that by today's standards, with all of our electronics and all our would look very poor and deprived. And yet she was so happy and her family and the community were happy. Did they have problems? Of course they did, right? Because things happen. Things happen to our bodies and we learn to deal with them. And we learn to make the best of tough situations. And we learn to rejoice in the good times. We learn to rejoice every day because we have an opportunity to grow in love, right? So today we're in the middle of World War III and we're losing. And if you don't believe that, then you're not thinking straight. And you're going to say, well, what makes you say you're thinking straight? How do you? Yeah, because I am, right? Because, because our mother is talking to you and I'm trying to tell you what she's saying. She's been screaming about this virus for months and only two voices answered her, mine and others, and they're coming, right? They're coming. I don't know where the hell they are, but they're coming, right? So here's the thing. Nothing is perfect. We can strive toward perfection. But today, in the middle of World War III, we're losing the war because our society is breaking down because we don't trust ourselves or each other because we don't love. And that's the plain and simple truth. So I have friends who say, oh, this vaccine isn't researched. Oh, it's not this. It's not FDA approved. It's not. People who didn't even know what FDA was before this year, right? And they don't know that there's more than 20 years of research behind this vaccine. And they don't know that our mother handed us this ability to defeat it through the years of research that these people, scientists, put into without ever thinking that they would be called to help during a pandemic. They were trying to avoid things like that, right? They're trying to create vaccines to fight against the evil that's out there. Now, the whole vaccine issue is a whole nother conversation in certain ways. I'm not a big fan of vaccines, and particularly because I watched my animals suffer through over-vaccination. And it's possible that we're over-vaccinating our children. But vaccines are also the way that we defeat the enemy that is currently in charge of World War III, right? And we're responding with selfishness, boorishness, poorly reasoned theories, and conspiracy theories that make no goddamn sense. I mean, here's the reason why I don't deal with the metaphysical community as a whole. Because they're the ones that are locked up into, oh my God, it's a conspiracy. Oh my goodness, there's this or that. Or, oh, I can create my reality and I can manifest wellness. Well, good luck with that, people, because it doesn't work, right? So let's go back to that woman 300 years ago. She understood community. She understood energy. She understood responsibility. Today, we're wandering around in strange theories like quantum physics, which lead us to believe that we are in charge. Well, guess what? You know, after a year and a half of World War III, do you still think we're in charge of anything? Right? Do you not see everything breaking down around you? Are you not willing to step up and think straight and do the right thing? Right? So when you're thinking about what to do and you're remembering that woman 300 years ago and that soldier in World War II, he didn't want to go to war. He didn't like being shot. He didn't like having hepatitis. He didn't like losing his firstborn son to a horrible disease. He kept moving forward in his life. He found ways to love. He took care of people. He took care of his family and his community. So when you're thinking about the vaccine, you know, and you think about, well, I'm doing my research or it's my body, myself. Yeah, no, it's not, right? Because you're thinking for yourself. You're not thinking for a community. You're the lion that's going to get banished, right? From the lion pride, right? Because you're not thinking clearly. And I don't know how to help you think clearly if you won't let go of your prejudices and look at the world as it is around you, right? If you break a law, you go to jail or you pay a fine, right? And that's where we're at with World War III, right? We have a vaccine. It's safe. It's effective. I didn't like getting it. I didn't want to get it. But when I looked at it, when I looked at the world, I realized that's our only way out right now. And it was my civic responsibility. So I got vaccinated. Did I wait? Yes, I did wait a little bit. a couple of weeks, maybe a month, because I don't have children or grandchildren, and a lot of people around me did, and the vaccine was in short supply, and I could stay safe at home. And I knew they wanted to see their grandchildren, so I let them go first in line and took my place later than those people who had to be out in the workforce and who wanted to see their grandkids could, right? So when you're thinking about thinking straight, think beyond and behind quantum physics, for example. We don't control the world. We live in it as equals with all life. And right now, that other thing that is equal to us is controlling us. It is this virus, right? It is the greatest evil our planet has ever faced. It is the one thing I have gone up against in my role as guardian, appointed by the mother, and I don't even understand that half the time. It's the only thing I haven't been able to take down. Because we need to take it down together. We need to create community around it. So let's look at body, mind, and spirit then. So if we're looking at our metaphysical, our body, mind, and spirit approach to the virus, the vaccine, it's not my body, it's myself. It's not my body, I'm in charge of it. Notice that the people who say that also decide that women can't control their own bodies when it comes to reproductive choices, right? It's like, learn to think straight. Go back to the beginning. Go back to all of us being equals with all life on the planet. Do you get free choice? Yes, up to a point when your free choice interferes with your civic responsibility, right? And you're facing that right now. So body, how do we keep ourselves safe? How do we keep other people safe? You mask up, you use hand sanitizer, you get the vaccine. Mind, body, mind, and spirit, mind. So what are we thinking, right? Go back again to the beginning, not to quantum physics, which teaches you you're in charge of the atom, but inviting the atom to participate with you in this life of the planet. How are we contributing to the welfare of our beloved mother? Because when this virus is done killing us and killing animals and trees, it's going to kill the planet herself, right? Do you not care about that? Of course you do. So mind, what ideals form the community and purpose? How do we learn to think and to understand in the world? Why do conspiracy theories appeal to people? Does it give them the feeling that they have special knowledge, that they're special somehow, that they're like in tune with the world? No, it just makes them feel like they're in charge, and we're not in charge, right? Let's look at common sense. Let's look at obligation and responsibility. Spirit, we are here to grow in love. And we live in community, so we grow in love and cooperation with the community around us. So go do it already. Go do it already. So that young man who went off to war in World War II, he knew who the enemy was. Very sadly, he knew. And, you know, we don't want to make enemies of other people. We didn't ask to be enemies. We didn't ask for the United States to be bombed. We didn't ask for some crazy person in different countries to try to kill everybody and rule the world. It's still happening, right? Then we had to look at our fellow humans as enemies, and maybe that's where we're headed today. I hope not. But the enemy is a coronavirus, and the end result is we will lose our civilization. And we're right on that verge right now. And if you don't think we are, listen to this last story, right? But first, know that every day, you and I both see evidence of people caring for each other, taking care of each other. And I see it every single day because people are now taking care of me, right? Craziness is taking over, right? The time has come to decide what it means to be a society, to be a family, just as that woman 300 years ago did, just as that man who lived through World War II and lived with and created a family did. And now we're at the point where World War III is forcing us to ration everything from goods to healthcare. And we should. But the problem is we're not rationing correctly, really. Because if the first obligation is to your society, your community around you, How does that pan out when people are so into me, they won't get the vaccine, but they're taking up beds in the hospitals that other people can't get? So the people who were vaccinated, who need cancer treatment, who need heart surgeries, who need immediate care for traumas, as a friend who fell and broke her hip a couple of weeks ago needed. These people aren't always getting help. Why? Because coronavirus patients who refuse a vaccine are taking up beds in the hospital. Maybe that needs to change. Now, I deal with ethics every day, all day long with my clients and in my life. And I think our ethical approach to our healthcare system as it is right now is wrong, because we do need to ration care, and we need to ration it on the basis of community. And community means that if you have not done your civic responsibility and gotten vaccinated, if you are in the hospital or if you have COVID, then you recover at home or you don't recover. And the people who are putting community ahead get the care, because right now they are not. Now, you see the stories about the people who died after 40-some trips to different hospitals. I live in Washington State, and the state of Idaho didn't follow through and urge its people to be vaccinated. And now they're sending their patients to us, which means what? It means that people here in Washington State can't get care. But it's happening all over the world, and it's happening particularly in our states that people aren't really vaccinated in. So until it changes, until people start thinking of community and mindset as being equals with all of the planet and all of us contributing together to the welfare of that client, just like that woman 300 years ago, just like that young man who went off to World War II, not liking it, but doing it because it was his job then. Till we learn to do that, we're going to continue to lose. And people, I don't want us to lose, right? So get vaccinated. Urge your friends to get vaccinated. Take care of your health. Be healthy and well. So right now, I need major surgery, and I can't get it because of COVID, which means that I'm in a tough spot, right? And the only reason I'm still at home is because people are coming to walk my dog who thinks he's hit the jackpot, and people are getting groceries, and people are checking in and helping me. And at some point, maybe I'll get the surgery that I need, and I would be the first person to put myself behind a cancer or heart patient, because that's what you do. But in the meantime, this is my last show until I have that surgery and recover and can get back. And in the meantime, I'm taking care of my clients and doing the best I can. But the show is just one more thing that I can't do right now. I just don't have the energy. So I want to close by telling you, you can find me at robin@robinfritz.com. That's robynfritz.com. You can find the things I do: personal and business intuition, mediumship, clearing space cooperatively, past life regression, that woman 300 years ago, and soul clearings. And really, I'm out there helping our planet, doing the best that I can, which most of us are doing right now. And I urge you to put community ahead of what you feel. Put community ahead of this virus. Take up arms against World War III. Learn to love and to give love, because that matters. And as I close, I have one last thing to tell you, which you've probably already guessed. That soldier in World War II, his name was Ray J. Fritz. He was my dad. And I am proud of him, and I am proud of the work that he did. And I am proud that today he works with me in the afterlife at helping the living and the dead connect. So life goes on. It moves in strange places and strange ways. And so I send my love and connection to all of you. And please love and love yourselves. Love your neighbors. Get out there. Fight World War III. Take this virus on. We can win. I hope to see you on the other side, possibly in January. Take care. Thank you for listening. take care of each other. Goodbye.